Suffering? Miserable? Three kinds of misery you can beat. Suffering? Miserable? I have distinguished three causes you have control over. Motto: pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. Most everybody gets miserable and suffering from time to time. Some more, some less. I used to be miserable and suffering more than most. And I had no idea how to get out of it. It was like a deep hole, and the bright happy world was outside of the hole, and definitely outside of my reach. This morning I got a phone call from a friend who was going to share a breakthrough with me. To escape Hurricane Irene, she drove up to her brother's house for the weekend. Her brother lives far enough from the coast to be safe. So, what was the breakthrough? I asked. Oh, every time we get here, all we can see is the piles of beer cans, the piles of leaves, the overgrown tomatoes, the piles of rubble. This time I said to myself, this is deconstruction that happens before rebuilding, so it's okay. I still heard the superiority and the make wrong, and I said so. But accidentally she reminded me of a distinction from Waddell's The Science of Being series, that I'd never really internalized. This is what the distinction says: there is never any wrong with anything. Things are perfect for where they are. They are evolving and they are perfect at the stage of evolution where they are. Let me not bastardize Waddell's great prose, let me quote here. Faith. Not a faith in oneself or in one's own powers, but faith in principle, in the something great which upholds right, may be relied upon to give us the victory in due time. Without this faith it is not possible for anyone to rise to real greatness. The man who has no faith in principle will always be a small man. Whether you have this faith or not depends upon your point of view. You must learn to see the world as being produced by evolution, as a something that is evolving and becoming, not as a finished work. Millions of years ago God worked with very low and crude forms of life, low and crude, yet each perfect after its kind. Higher and more complex organisms, animal and vegetable, appeared through the successive ages. The earth passed through stage after stage in its unfolding, each stage perfect in itself, and to be succeeded by a higher one. The so-called lower organisms are as perfect after their kind as the higher ones. That the world in the Eocene period was perfect for that period, it was perfect, but God's work was not finished. This is true of the world today. Physically, socially, and industrially it is all good, and it is all perfect. It is not complete anywhere or in any part, but so far as the handiwork of God has gone it is perfect. This must be your point of view, that the world and all it contains is perfect, though not completed. All's right with the world. That is the great fact. There is nothing wrong with anything, there is nothing wrong with anybody. All the facts of life you must contemplate from this standpoint. Note, you see, my work is to raise people's consciousness. One way to see elevated consciousness is to see it as an evolutionary marker. A person with higher consciousness can see more, and can see it from a non-threatening vantage point. How do you see more? You see more by seeing and being able to distinguish more detail correctly. An example for that is to see how many shades of gray you are able to tell apart. I bet not more than 32 or 64. All gradating from white to black. But a computer can see 256, maybe even more. The more things you see and identify correctly, the more chances you have for a good life, a long life. The less you fill the blanks. An elevated consciousness, that for lack of a better word I call your vibration, gives you more of what is life and less of what is death. So I am in the giving you more life business. But you can't even see the value until you are at a certain, relatively high vibration. That is why I activated the original design planet-wide. So more people will be able to put themselves on the path of evolving. /note. There is nothing wrong with nature. Nature is a great advancing presence working beneficently for the happiness of all. All things in nature are good, she has no evil. She is not completed, for creation is still unfinished, but she is going on to give to man even more bountifully than she has given to him in the past. Nature is a partial expression of God, and God is love. She is perfect but not complete. So it is of human society and government. What though there are trusts and combinations of capital and strikes and lockouts and so on? All these things are part of the forward movement, they are incidental to the evolutionary process of completing society. When it is complete there will be harmony, but it cannot be completed without them. J.P. Morgan is as necessary to the coming social order as the strange animals of the Age of Reptiles were to the life of the succeeding period, and just as these animals were perfect after their kind, so Morgan is perfect after his kind. Behold, it is all very good. See government, and industry as being perfect now, and as advancing rapidly toward being complete, then you will understand that there is nothing to fear, No cause for anxiety, nothing to worry about. Never complain of any of these things. They are perfect. This is the very best possible world for the stage of development man has reached. This will sound like rank folly to many, perhaps to most people. What? They will say, are not child labor and the exploitation of men and women in filthy and unsanitary factories evil things? Aren't saloons evil? Do you mean to say that we shall accept all these and call them good? Child labor and similar things are no more evil than the way of living and the habits and practices of the cave dweller were evil. His ways were those of the savage stage of man's growth, and for that stage they were perfect. Our industrial practices are those of the savage stage of industrial development, and they are also perfect. Nothing better is possible until we cease to be metal savages in industry and business, and become men and women. Note there are countless hero stories. One such type of hero is John of the Cross. He wrote beautiful poetry in the time of brutal imprisonment and solitary confinement. Another is Viktor Frankl, author of Man's Search for Meaning, who survived in a Nazi concentration camp. He calls what he had finding a meaning to life, but before you can find a meaning to life, you need to pull your power to yourself. Leave none of it at the hands of the perpetrators. And a third person, a Hungarian Jewish boy, who, once the war was over, and the concentration camp he was in, was liberated, could remember the afternoon hours as the best hours of his life. He never made anyone wrong for what they did, or overly attached himself to someone who did something nice to him. He regarded it all like he regarded the weather, and he found his happiness, his power for self-determination inside that particular condition of the moment. /Note. This can only come about by the rise of the whole race to a higher viewpoint. And this can only come about by the rise of such individuals here and there as are ready for the higher viewpoint. The cure for all this inharmoniousness, note lack of harmony /Note, lies not with the masters or employers but with the workers themselves. Whenever they reach a higher viewpoint, whenever they shall desire to do so, they can establish complete brotherhood and harmony in industry, they have the numbers and the power. They are getting now what they desire. Whenever they desire more in the way of a higher, purer, more harmonious life, they will receive more. True, they want more now, but they only want more of the things that make for animal enjoyment, and so industry remains in the savage, brutal, animal stage, when the workers begin to rise to the mental plane of living and ask for more of the things that make for the life of the mind and soul. Industry will at once be raised above the plane of savagery and brutality. Note your want for more money probably leaves you in this category until you actually get the principle of life animating you. And the best way to do this is to connect daily to Source, using my video as your companion in that. Connecting will raise your vibration before you know it, and you'll have desire, which is a sacred key to Source and to a life you can attain /Note. But it is perfect now upon its plane. Behold, in fact it is all very good. So it is true of saloons and dens of vice. If the majority of the people desire these things, it is right and necessary that they should have them. When the majority desires a world without such discords, they will create such a world. So long as men and women are on the plane of bestial thought, so long the social order will be in part disorder, and will show bestial manifestations. The people make society what it is, and as the people rise above the bestial thought, society will rise above the beastly in its manifestations. But a society which thinks in a bestial way must have saloons and dives. It is perfect after its kind, as the world was in the Eocene period, and very good. All this does not prevent you from working for better things. You can work to complete an unfinished society, instead of to renovate a decaying one, and you can work with a better heart and a more hopeful spirit. It will make an immense difference with your faith and spirit whether you look upon civilization as a good thing that is becoming better or as a bad and evil thing that is decaying. Note this is a crucial paragraph. As long as you entertain thoughts of fixing, let it be someone else, or society, you will always be on a lower level of consciousness, and unconsciously perpetuate that which you are against. It is one of the many paradoxes that make evolution of your consciousness not the yellow road to Emerald City. /Note. One viewpoint gives you an advancing and expanding mind and the other gives you a descending and decreasing mind. One viewpoint will make you grow greater and the other will inevitably cause you to grow smaller. One will enable you to work for the eternal things, to do large works in a great way toward the completing of all that is incomplete and inharmonious, and the other will make you a mere patchwork reformer, working almost without hope to save a few lost souls from what you will grow to consider a lost and doomed world. So you see it makes a vast difference to you, this matter of the social viewpoint. All's right with the world. Nothing can possibly be wrong but my personal attitude, and I will make that right. I will see the facts of nature and all the events, circumstances, and conditions of society, politics, government, and industry from the highest viewpoint. It is all perfect, though incomplete. It is all the handiwork of God. Behold, it is all very good. You see, for the past week or so I have been complaining about people. People who don't want to connect. People who don't want to share. People who are wrong, 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 for being the way they are. Lol. It made me miserable, not even want to answer the phone, and it separated me further from the people that I love. And if you look, now I could make myself wrong, another powerful source of misery, by saying I should have known to use this people or evolving distinction. But you see, I am evolving too, and I can't see something until I can, I can't use something until I can. No matter how superior I feel. Lol. By the way, let us call this source of misery superiority. It's a great word, right? Sure to make you isolated, miserable and suffering. Ha ha. This has been my main mode to make myself miserable and suffering, and I know much less about the other two, but I'll give you as much details as necessary to recognize it in yourself. Recognizing it in others only takes you back to superior, so leave it alone, okay? The second thought of misery is wanting. Wanting is not the same as desire. You see, desire doesn't bring with itself a sense of not having. Wanting does. Desire doesn't make how it is wrong, doesn't play in absolutes, wanting does. Desire doesn't have a because, it has a cause only. The quickening of the principle of power in you. It is delightful, it is enjoyable, it is an experience of coming alive. Life giving you little nudges to show you are still alive. Wanting, on the other hand, is a strong force that comes with a because. You want money because you don't have money, or the stuff it can buy. You want money to fix what is wrong with your life. You want money because. Which shows that wanting doesn't arise from the depth of you, from inside, it is arising from the circumstances, including your misery. As such, as every fixing, it makes what caused it bigger. Instead of fixing it, it makes the hole bigger. Nasty. But maybe you can't see it yet. You ask, how could wanting more money not fix that I don't have enough money to pay my rent? You see, it may seem to fix the money lack, but it doesn't fix that it's wrong that you can't pay your rent. And when something is wrong, you are disempowered. Note disempowered equals the power is taken away or given away slash note. Disempowered people don't look for solutions inside, they act like victims, that blame some other, some circumstance for their plight. And therefore they are stuck with the plight, they are stuck with it. As long as they blame. As long as they are victim. As long as they are not cause. As a coach I encounter this type of misery with every client. This is the state they come to me. The fastest way to tame this beast is to have a mantra, there is nothing ever wrong with how it is. There is nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with you, nothing wrong with it. It is just how it is. It doesn't completely eliminate the misery, but it takes the edge off. You see, until you can say it because you see it, this poison is still working in you, working through you. The next stage of reclaiming your power is to pull the power back towards you. When you give power to circumstances over you, you have no power. When you blame another person, you hand over your power, willingly, and now you have none. Complaining is a dead giveaway. When you complain, you should ask yourself, who or what have I given my power to? And then start pulling it back towards you. This is why they say that no one can hurt you, no one can victimize you, no one can do anything to you without your permission. They don't say someone can't beat you, someone can't cheat you. Someone very well can do that. But the moment you say hurt, or you say they did it to me, or you say you are a victim, you handed over your power. Because those words give away your power. Getting injured, cheated, or anything is very different than being a victim. When you are simply injured, you have power to take care of the injury. When you are cheated, you can make a decision to remove yourself from the situation or stay. But when you are a victim, you are tied with ropes to the perpetrator, and you have no freedom to do anything other than to complain. Summary, the three causes of misery and suffering I wrote about are 1. Superiority. 2. Wanting. 3. Victimhood. You have the keys to the prisons they put you in. Your job is to identify the state, open the door and get out. Your job is to use your life force for expanding. For building. For yourself. That is what life wants. Not your suffering. So how does this work? How do you actually get rid of these three things? Every course, every energy I offer, does some of the work. The most complete is the playground. But you may not be ready for it. So what then? I recommend another really successful course, The second phase activators compact course. That has 100 spiritual activators in it. And if you do it right, you'll get many of them. The ones you are ready for. I have a coupon special running till Sunday. The coupon code is compact, and it is set to expire on Sunday. Get access to 100 spiritual capacities in a course.